Minds, this is Andrea Kanoki, and I am your host from Mrs. Tamez. I am super excited today. You guys are in for such a treat. I have such a special guest today. I want to introduce the infamous Evan Mark Katz. Welcome to my show.
Infamous? That means I've done something wrong that I don't know about.
Well, still to be determined, I would say, okay. Right? I haven't researched all of everything you've done yet, so we can save that. So just to tell you all a little bit about Evan, he is the world's first dating coach since 2003. I'm just going to stop there for a second because when I read that, I'm like, holy shit, I don't even know what I was doing like 21 years ago. And you must have been the only one out there that was like a dating coach at the time.
Well, we can come back to everything that. In the world, everything's a made up job.
Yeah.
Right. Like it is. And so it fills a vacuum. People were asking for advice. I had no job, no skills, no experience, just an opinion. Yeah. And I was a writer. And so I turned my Hollywood writing thing into, and we could get into the backstory, but I turned my Hollywood writing career into something that was more focused on giving dating and relationship advice. And people responded to it. And the next thing I knew, I sort of hung up my shingle and called myself a dating coach before anybody else had done that. And now there's thousands of people who do what I do. No, but I'm saying, God bless them. I mean, I made this. I can't blame anybody else for doing what I did.
I love it. I love it. Okay, hold tight on that because I want to hear more on that. But I'm going to finish saying that you do specialize in helping successful women find lasting love. You have 4 books and a popular Love You podcast. He's featured in major media outlets, and his coaching philosophy emphasizes understanding men, which is so good, raising standards, and empowering women to break free from limiting beliefs. So over 13,000 women have graduated from your Love You coaching program. That is a lot. And you provide hands-on support and accountability to attract fulfilling relationships. So if you're a successful woman seeking love, this is your guy, ladies. This is the guy. He has a step-by-step plan to manifest your dreams. He's based in LA, and he has 2 hilarious kids. I mean, jack of all trades right here, I'd say.
Nah, I just feel like when my wife and I when she was pregnant, we weren't pregnant, when she was pregnant, we said, we don't know what they're going to look like. We couldn't say whether they're going to be the smartest kids in the class, but if we have any say in it, they're going to be funny kids.
Well, so you succeeded then.
That's the thing that we're really grateful for, is they turned out the way we hoped.
I love it because your introduction here did not say smart, amazing. It just says hilarious. So you figured it out. I love it. All right. So let's dive in. I'm so excited to talk to you. So let's start at the beginning. You were kind of just filling me in because I couldn't wait to hear about you starting as a relationship coach in 2003. So just tell us again how you fell into it and like how you just followed through on this career path for the last 20 plus years.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people who have dreams, and then there's people who stumble into things.
Yeah.
And I think I'm speaking to all the listeners. Is like there's the, oh, I always wanted to be X, and it turned out that I didn't like it when I got there. And so for me, I always wanted to be a comedy writer. That was the dream. And so when I was 19, I told you I'm 51. So in 1994, I graduated college and went to Duke University. And when I left, I ripped up the LSAT scores. I was supposed to be a lawyer.
Wow.
And told my parents I wanted to move to LA to write for friends because someone did. Why not me? And that's,
and that turned out well.
The deep-seated belief in my own abilities, that irrational man confidence.
Yeah.
And so I gave it the real college try. I spent my entire 20s doing it. And I had screenplays and sitcoms and agents and managers. And I won contests and I went to film school. I did everything you could possibly do without making any money. And so when I turned 30, I was like, I don't want to be the 40-year-old guy who is hoping that someone buys his screenplay, and I needed to pivot. And so when I started to put myself through film school, UCLA Film School, it was at the end of my screenwriting career, and I needed a job just to support myself. And I walked in, I was temping in a building, and in an adjacent office was a company called JDate.
Okay.
It's for Jewish people. It's a Jewish online dating site.
Of course
and
it
so
is.
I was like, oh, I use that site. So here, if you have anything, I'll take it. Just desperate for a job. And so I got a job doing customer service, getting yelled at by strangers on the phone.
Okay.
And I did that for like 9 months, getting yelled at by strangers on the phone. And at a certain point in my tenure getting yelled at by strangers on the phone, I realized I know more about online dating than anybody I'm talking to. And so I should probably write a book about it. And
Yeah.
so I wrote my first book in 2003. It was called, I Can't Believe I'm Buying This Book, A Common Sense Guide to Successful Internet Dating, because online dating was embarrassing at the time. I can't believe I'm buying this book made sense. I can't believe I'm posting this personal ad.
Yeah.
So online
what
dating
was even out there in 2003? Match, maybe?
Match, certainly J-Date. I was working there. Yahoo Personals, a site called Matchmaker, Nerve, nerve.com had personals. So there were sites and they were doing pretty well, but it wasn't mainstream and ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. They were kind of a big deal that people were too embarrassed to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I kind of came out and was like, here, I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And no one had done that before. Mm. And so my book comes out in the beginning of 2004 and I dropped out of film school, and because suddenly I'm on CNN and I'm in USA Today and I'm in Time Magazine, and I'm just the same loser I was before.
But are you getting paid now, at least? But
no, that's the thing. That's the thing. I had a low level of fame before I had anything to sell.
Yeah.
So being on TV show and promoting a book, you're not making money off the book. Someone buys your book on Amazon, you're getting a quarter.
Yes.
So I had this book, and so I needed a business. And my business was writing people's online dating profiles. I started a website called eCyrano.com, eCyrano.com.
Like Cyrano, as in the guy that would whisper in the ear.
Like Cyrano de Bergerac. Cyrano. Right. So gotcha. I started eCyrano, and because of the TV and media exposure, eCyrano got bigger, and suddenly I couldn't do it all myself. And so I hired a bunch of freelance writers to write dating profiles for me.
Wow.
And so suddenly I have this business, and I'm not a businessman. I'm just a writer.
Yeah.
And I would write people's dating profiles and they'd say, oh my God, it's so good. I'm getting all this attention. What do I do now? And I was like, well, what do you mean? What do you do now? You flirt.
Yeah.
I don't know how to flirt. Okay. Well, let's log into match.com and look up the cute guy and I'll show you how to flirt. And so that's where the dating coaching started. It was just necessity is the mother of invention.
Wow.
And dating profiles led to dating coaching, led to relationship coaching. And suddenly, 5 years into this made up job, I realized 80% of the people turning to me were women. I didn't ask for women. I was just a coach. I was helping men too.
Yeah.
It's men don't ask for help. They need help desperately.
Yes.
You know that. I know that.
Yes. They don't ask for directions either. So,
right. So the stereotype happens to be true. 80% of my clients were women, but I wasn't courting women. So I cut men off my mailing list in 2010 and focused all my energies on helping women. And that's when I went into a period of real productivity and churned out a whole bunch of products and programs. Why He Disappeared, Believe in Love, Finding the One Online, and eventually Love You, which is a program specifically to take women from where you are now, frustrated, confused, a little lonely, unclear what to do differently to produce a different result, and then walk you through an entire process to help you get lasting love. And I've been doing that since 2015.
Wow.
So that's the quickie.
That's quick the story. I like a good quickie. So that was good. That's good.
I like your energy. We're having fun.
We're having fun here. So I love that you focus on men's perspectives. So you must have gone back to men. You went away from men for a while and you kind of came back.
I don't help men.
Oh, so you're just kind of helping women, but helping them focus on men's, because you know so much about men's perspective, you're not actually helping them. You're just helping women learn about men's perspective.
If imagine a guy friend of yours, right? And it won't be hard. Imagine a guy friend who's a nice guy who doesn't do well with women.
Yeah, I know some.
And the nice guy is like, I don't know. Do I have to be an asshole? I think women like assholes. And maybe I need to change. Maybe it's a haircut. And you're like, oh, no. That's not it.
Yeah.
If that guy wants to do better with women, he shouldn't ask a bunch of dudes what to do better. He should ask women.
Women.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's where my business came from, is women usually talk to other women. What is he thinking? Most matchmakers, women. And so I'm nothing against the very many women, the peers in my industry. But if you really want to know what guys think, I'd probably ask a guy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I was actually doing that last night. I'm just cutting in here, but I was on a date last night and I was asking the guy, like, we were talking about how we as women talk to other women and tell all of our little secrets. And really, even going into the sex stuff, we do a play by play. We really do. We tell it all. And then I ask him, and he's kind of like, no, we just kind of go over like the basics. Like, the guys just want to know, was it any good? You know, anything out of the ordinary happen? And then they're like, good for you, man. You know, it's like that. It's amazing. It's that whole women are from what, Mars or Venus, one of them, men are from the other one. It's crazy to me.
There's a big larger cultural conversation right now about men and women and sex and gender and differences and roles. And I think we need to sometimes lean on stereotypes a little bit, not because they're always true, but because they're partially true and they do a good job of explaining the world. So from what I've seen, what we've even talked about so far in this brief conversation, men generally use communication to convey specific information, right? They'll text, what are you doing tomorrow? Or you'll tell him a story and you'll tell him all the details prior to the story. And he'll be like, when's the story going to start? No, but you have to understand how I first met Janine. Right. And so guys are like, just let's get to the point.
So
And
true.
it's a little, we could overlay this onto sex. Men are willing to go a little bit faster. Women need some warm up and foreplay. So if we just understand that as a loose working model of the world, it explains why there's so much friction between men and women, and we often fail to understand each other. And if I had the power to, and I don't, and I get yelled at a lot, to help men understand women better, I would do it. I think the world would be a much better place if men really understood women. But since I can't make them even become curious about understanding women, I do the opposite. I try to help women understand
Same
men
men.
and at least meet them where they're at without spending too much time trying to change men to become women. And that's one of the trickier things about it. There's another dating relationship expert named Alison Armstrong, and she does a bit and she says, men are not just hairy women. Like, you want him to be you with a penis. And that's not really how it works. They're different. And you have to just understand and work within those differences. And so my job is I'm mostly a translator.
Interesting. Okay. So that kind of answered my question I was starting to ask, was that you do focus on understanding men's perspectives, thoughts, and desires. And I was going to ask, would you say that has helped you the most in order to achieve success when working with women to find lasting love? Is that the main thing that's helped you think?
I think anything you do for a long period of time, whatever your vocation, whatever you do professionally, if you put in your Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours, I hope you've gotten better at it over time. So where I started as a 31-year-old guy, very different than where I am as a 51-year-old guy who's been coaching for 20 years, married for 15. And so talking to women and listening to women as their coach helped me understand women better and helped me get married.
Amazing.
Right? You become a better husband when you listen to women. It would be hard not to incorporate some of what you learn from your clients. So I've become a better person and a better coach and a happily married man because of my work. And in turn, having gone on 300 online dates before I got married and being married for, I can tell you what it's like to be single. I could tell you what it's like to be in a relationship. And I don't claim to be, every guy, but I think I could speak to the needs of men in a way that a lot of men can't even speak for themselves. Men don't always know what they're looking for. Men can't always explain themselves. So when you say, why are men so confusing? They're confused themselves.
I would agree with that for sure. So you just mentioned something I want to talk about is you got married at 30, you said what, you met her at 30,
35.
okay, 35, which is a little bit later for some. I mean, it's not that crazy, but we were talking about before we started that you do have an 11-year-old child and you're 51, right?
I told you my career. I was in no position to be anybody's husband or father when I was a struggling writer in my 20s. My career starts when I'm 31 years old. I have no money prior to that. I have nothing. I'm a poor writer dating online, prolifically looking for love. Right. But I had very little to offer in terms of stability or security. So I finally get my career underway. I'm dating, 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 making all the mistakes in the world that everybody else makes, learning, pivoting. And through the act of coaching other women, I finally choose my wife and we get married at age, I'm 35, she's 38. I'm her second marriage.
Okay.
And we immediately start going for kids, and there's complications. There's miscarriages, yeah. There's chemical pregnancies, there's a fibroid surgery. My wife has kids at 41 and 42.
Wow.
But we end up with our little dream family. We were just kind of late starters, but the good news is we were both really ready for that.
Absolutely.
We weren't like my parents, two kids in their mid 20s, babies having babies.
Yes. Right? Yes. Like, so that was me.
I'd like to think we've provided more stability, but we're definitely the old parents. Most of our friends are younger than we are because they got started in their early 30s and we got started in our late 30s.
Yeah. But that's okay. It all worked out. Hey, hey, you fabulous listeners. It's your host, Andrea, with From Mrs. to Ms., coming at you with something truly exciting. Are you guys ready to boost your energy, elevate your skincare routine, and wear the coolest workout gear around? Then listen up, because Savvy has got you covered. Okay, picture this. You're gearing up for an epic workout, right? You're feeling energized and you're ready to conquer the day. But before you hit the gym or the yoga mat, you need that extra little, you know, kick to get you going. Well, that's where Savvy's Boost Energy drinks come in. They are packed with all natural ingredients, and these drinks will have you feeling like a superhero in no time. I am loving the mango flavor. So let's talk about skincare. We all know how important it is to take care of our skin, especially when we're getting our sweat on. Savvy offers a range of skincare products designed to nourish and protect your skin so you can glow from the inside out. Now let's talk about the good stuff, my favorite stuff, the workout clothes. I'm telling you, I practically live in my Savvy leggings. Not only are they super soft and comfy, but they also give me the support I need during even the toughest workouts. Plus, with styles that rival big name brands like Lululemon, Aloe, and Vuori without the forever chemicals, you'll look and feel amazing every time you hit the gym or head out for a run. And here's the best part, you guys. Savvy is currently having a March Madness sale with a whopping 50% off all clothing. That's right. You heard me, 50% off. They have some amazing stuff. I love my Crane leggings. I wasn't sure I'd like them at first. They do have a stirrup on them, but I tried them on and I can't take them off because they're so soft and comfy. Probably the softest ones I've ever worn. But you got to act fast because the sale is not going to last forever and items are starting to move really quick. So what are you waiting for? You guys just click on my link, go to savvy.com/AndreaK. That's SAVVI.com/ANDREAK or use my referral code Andrea K to score some amazing deals on all your favorite Savvy products. Trust me, you won't regret it. Stay fabulous, stay fit, and stay savvy, my friends. So did you meet her online, or you kind of like, what kind of practices did you put in to meet her? Did you kind of throw some of your specialties on her?
Yes, my standard dating coach lines. No, one of the things that when you're in this line of work is everything becomes material and everything becomes a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't have met my wife online. And that's not an indictment of online dating.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indictment of how we use online dating.
Yeah.
Right. My wife was 3 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
A 34-year-old guy. I'm looking for women 27 to 34 if I want to have a family.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for a woman 3 years older. She's 16 years of Catholic school. She's not looking for a Jewish guy.
No.
So we're on match.com at the same time. We wouldn't have
met each other at all. And a total mismatch.
And this is the point. This is online dating works fine. It's how we use it that's the problem. And we put narrower and narrower blinders. We basically go online and try to look for the opposite sex version of ourselves. I have a master's degree. He needs a master's degree.
Mm.
I make six figures. He has to make six figures. I like hiking. He has to like hiking. So you're basically looking for you.
And
that's usually not how love works if you know happy couples.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. I want to touch base on that a little bit later because I want to talk about the dating sites with you. So I read that you often urge women to raise their standards and like never settle for less. So in your opinion, what's the difference between compromising and settling?
So that's a big can of worms.
It's
a challenging question because I'll say things and people's first reaction is he's telling me to settle.
Mm.
Right. But I'm just going to use what we just talked about.
Yeah.
When I married my wife, who happens to be Catholic,
mm-hmm.
did I settle?
No.
Well, I was looking for someone who was like me.
Yeah.
East Coast Jewish liberal intellectual.
Yeah.
My wife's nothing like my San Diego family is right wing military Catholic God family country. Our backgrounds wow. are nothing alike.
Yeah.
But we are magic.
Yeah.
So did I settle or did I open up to something new? And that's what I encourage people to do. If you consider what settling means, mm-hmm. settling is not dating a man who's 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
It's not dating a man who makes less money than you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's mm-hmm. not. It's not dating a guy who's, you know, 7 years older. It's not dating a guy who's got a little ring of fat around the middle. That's not settling.
Yeah.
Settling is being in a relationship where you're unhappy. Settling is being in a relationship where you're anxious. Settling is being in a relationship where you're always fighting. So by my standards, you've spent your whole life settling. You've chosen mm-hmm. guys who are tall and rich and cute and charismatic, mm-hmm. brilliant,
mm-hmm.
but you're single. So yeah. it sounds to me like that is really settling. So we redefine what settling is. Settling is being in a relationship where you don't feel safe, heard, and understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then whatever package that comes in almost doesn't matter. Obviously, you have to be attracted to him. Obviously, you have to respect right. him. No one's saying you should be in a relationship where you don't respect him and you're not attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But what is your height criteria?
6 foot.
Okay. So 6 foot is mm-hmm. 3 inches taller than you. So you could wear heels and you could be mm-hmm. at eye level.
Right? Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
Got it. Do you know the statistics on height for men?
No, I do not.
Would you like to know the statistics?
Please, because I need to know why I run out of people to look at.
It's really, really simple.
Yeah.
14% of men are over 6 feet tall.
14%. Shit,
this is not me. Google it. I'm like, I didn't make this up. I Googled it too. So 14% of men are 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Less than 1% of men are over 6'3".
Wow. Less than 1%.
So when you see a really tall guy, he's an anomaly.
Yeah.
The average guy, right? The 50th okay. percentile, 5'9".
Wow.
So before we talk about Andrea.
Yes.
Whether he's cute.
Yeah.
Whether he has hair, whether he has teeth, whether he has a sense of humor, whether he has a job.
Yeah.
Much less how does he treat me, character, kindness, consistency. Before we talk about any of that, yeah. you've lopped off 86% of men to start.
That's amazing.
And so then you say, why is it so hard to find someone? Well,
yeah,
that's
I've narrowed my dating pool.
That's point one. And that goes for anybody who has those beliefs.
Yeah.
If you want a guy who makes six figures, okay, that's 10% of men. 200,000, yeah. 5% of men. You want someone who's Jewish, 1.7% of men.
Wow.
Want a guy with a master's degree, 5%. Doctorate, 2%. So when we multiply all those things together.
Yeah.
Jewish, master's degree, 6 figures, 6 feet tall. Congratulations. You're starting with 0.0001%.
That's how I feel. Right. And I'm not surprised because when I have it, you know, my filter set the way I want them. And then I'm going through and I'll be honest, I'm not a big right swiper because it takes a lot, you know, so I might do 50 left to get one right. And then real quick, it comes up and it says, we've given them all. And you're going to have to put your filter out.
Right. So can we build on that?
Yes, because then I feel like I'm settling when I'm building out. So please tell me.
Right. Yeah. And if you were settling, you'd be settling on me.
Yeah.
Right. But you'd be settling on me.
Yeah.
I'm the disappointing safety school you end up with. A 5'9" guy who's got all this stuff in other areas. He just can't be 6 feet tall.
Yeah. And right? Not his problem. It's not his fault.
It's right? It's fine. And I don't blame anybody who's like, I can't help it. I can't help what I'm attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
But we could flip this whole thing around. Imagine the guy who's like, Evan, I can't help what I'm attracted to. I'm just not attracted to anybody who's my age.
Yeah.
She has to be 10 years younger. Otherwise, I'm not attracted. And you'd be like, wouldn't you be like, buddy, you're kind of limiting yourself.
Totally.
Evan, I can't help it. I'm just attracted to women who look like Instagram models. If she's got an ounce of fat or cellulite, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
If you're giving advice to that guy, you'd be like, dummy.
Yeah.
Expand your search to women your own age, maybe a couple years older, right?
Yep.
Believe it or not, you could be attracted to women who aren't exactly Instagram models because most people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing in reverse, right? Wow. And if you were giving advice to some shallow guy who says, Evan, I can't help what I'm attracted to, that's what you tell him.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I think the hard thing for me, just being specific about the height thing, is I do have long limbs, right? So I have very long fingers. I have long legs. So I have gone out with guys that are a little bit shorter than me. Sitting at the bar, great. Laying down in bed, great. But you stand up and all of a sudden I'm on this, it feels weird.
I got it. And so let's take out the idea that, oh my God, he's too insecure. I've gone out with 6 foot tall women.
Right? Yeah.
Like if there's a guy who's insecure, then that's his issue, not yours.
Yeah. But what if it's me that's insecure about it? Because it feels funny to me.
Right. And this is what I mean about trying different things on for size. Mm. You're a parent. I'm a parent. Yeah. I got a son who eats chicken nuggets. If the food has color, I like beige food, chicken nuggets and rice, everything beige and bland. I'm like, here, try this. No, I'm not going to like it. So I'm just exhibit A of I tried something different. I went out with 300 people and I got very stuck in dating what I thought was my type.
Yeah.
And 300 dates in 10 years in, I had gotten nowhere.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I started to expand.
Yeah.
So let's go back to, again, I know this is a long conversation, but I really
want to
get into this because it's so crucial, both for you and for your listeners.
Yes.
You said, I might swipe left on 50 guys before I swipe right on one.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm an intellectual snob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I like Ivy League types. I own that. I coach them. They're my people.
Okay.
If you're an Ivy League university and you want to fill your freshman class, do you know what percentage of people Ivy League universities take?
No, tell me.
Ballpark 10%.
Wow.
Okay, so you're Columbia, you're Cornell, you're taking 10% of people. You're Harvard, you're taking 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So you are, by that math, 5 times more selective than an Ivy League school. Your standards are so high that you could take 1 out of 50, which is 2% of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're wondering, why is it so hard? And I'm saying, be Cornell, be an Ivy League school. Mm-hmm. And if you're open to 10% of people, not 2% of people, you've quintupled your dating pool.
Mm-hmm. That is
and
so
you're, and by the way, you're still selective. You're rejecting 90% of men.
Yes.
90%.
But maybe now I have a chance of actually meeting somebody.
And that's the difference between having a love life and not having a love life.
Yeah.
I'm not telling anybody to settle.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you're 5 times more selective than an Ivy League school, you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's getting in your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it would help if they did have somebody to help with their profiles, because that's the majority of it. I just get annoyed right
off the bat. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not defending men.
Like, what are you still wearing a mask for in your cover photo?
Not defending men at all.
Yeah.
I were God and I could change men and change the way they date online and change their profiles, I would do it.
Yes.
I'm saying, given that I can't change men or your city or your age or your dating app, I can't change any of it.
Yes.
The way to do better is actually to swipe left on 10% of men.
Yeah.
The sixes and sevens. And at least just start a dialogue with them. Because remember, I would have passed up my own wife online because I was dating the way you were dating. This is the point. I'm not a hip.
Okay.
I'm telling you, this is exactly what I did wrong when I was single.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to give it a chance. That's kind of what you're saying.
So here's the last thought experiment before we move on to whatever topic you want to move on to. And this is the thing I do with my clients. If I were God, and to be clear, I am not, and I don't think
Thank
I am.
Thank you for the clarification.
I know, it's important.
Okay.
But if I were God, and I could say, Andrea, I have the power as all-knowing, omnipotent, and omniscient to hand you a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to take my Love You coaching course, and at the end of 6 months, he is going to appear on your doorstep in a big Federal Express box.
Okay.
And some guy is going to say, hey, sign here.
Mm-hmm.
And you let the guy in, and he's got a little Mr. Right t-shirt and a pink bow on his head. And this is your prize. And I guarantee you, because I'm God, this man is going to make you happy for the rest of your life.
Okay.
And I can't be wrong, because I'm God.
Right. Correct.
How tall would the guy have to be? The man who's going to make you happy for the rest of your life. For you to refuse the package and send him away. And you to say, God, I would rather be alone for the rest of my life than to be with this man. How tall would he have to be for you to send him away, knowing that you missed your chance at happiness?
Well, I wouldn't, because you guaranteed I'm going
to
be happy.
So,
so I'll take love over height.
So then what is the height that you would accept that husband in? for you to be happy. If I told you this man is going to make you happy for the rest of your life, would you be okay if he was 5'11"?
Yes.
What if he was 5'9"? Right. And again, I'm guaranteeing your happiness.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes.
So like, yes, so you're attracted to him. Yes. You respect him. Yes. He treats you well. Yes. He makes you laugh. Yes. He supports you emotionally, financially. He's all the things. He just happens to be 5'9". And I'm speaking on behalf of the average man.
Yeah. Yeah. I would take that.
Okay. So we play that game until you say, nope, I would rather be alone for the rest of my life than be with a 5'6" man.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying whether it's 5'6" or 5'7". It's up to you.
Yeah.
But what we've discovered is 6 feet is a made up number. It's getting in your way. And you could lower it to the point where, in the right circumstances with the right man, says the guy who's the Jewish atheist who married a Catholic woman, mm-hmm. right? You'd be surprised at what you'd be willing to compromise on when you find someone special.
That's such a good point. It really is. And you're right. I need to kind of broaden my horizons with that and think a little bit more openly. I am very, you know, I do stay in that little box and I'm like, I'm just looking for this and this. And I barely then pull my filters out a little bit when it tells me there's nobody left. And that's when I start going 5'11".
Can I ask you one more question? Yeah. I'm sorry to be a dating coach instead of being in a
interview. No, this is great. I need it.
This is my normal situation. I'm talking to women about these tweaks and blind spots.
Yeah.
Your marriage.
Yes.
Did you break up with him because he was too short?
No.
Of course not. No one has ever done that.
Right.
What did you break up with him for?
Because I fell out of love.
Be specific.
We just didn't have, there was no feelings there. We were not, I was not attracted to him anymore in that way. We were like best friends. He was like a roommate.
Okay. But he wasn't a bad guy.
Not at all. Great guy.
Got it. Okay. What do you think would have made him more attractive to you? Or there's nothing that he could have done to be more attractive to you. What was he lacking that you wanted him to have?
I hate to say this, but a job. A job, right? For a long period of time.
Great.
Yeah.
So you lost respect for him. And with the loss of respect came a loss of attraction. And then the whole thing spiraled out.
Resentment snuck in.
Right. And that's perfectly reasonable. I would never judge you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You became the husband and wife in the relationship. And he became the nice guy male roommate who you kind of took care of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you need a man.
Yeah.
A man with opinions and ideas and ambition and the ability to take care of you, your family.
Yeah. I need the safety, the protection, the provider.
Okay. Somebody and like if you found that guy and he's 5'9", you would have zero problem with that. Because you know what was missing from the last relationship, and it wasn't height.
No. And he was 5'10". He wasn't even that much.
Yeah, but that wasn't taller. That wasn't.
It wasn't the reason at all.
It wasn't, God, wearing heels with him, I feel awkward.
Right. I just didn't.
so we can say two things simultaneously. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, on the dream wish list, of course. He's tall, he's rich, he's brilliant. Of course. Everybody. Yeah. I don't blame anybody for wanting that.
Yeah.
It's holding out for that is a fool's errand.
Yeah.
Because there is no such thing as a Mrs. Happy Elon Musk or a Mrs. Happy Steve Jobs or a Mrs. Happy Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Right. No amount of brains, no amount of money. Those guys, their careers come first and you come second.
Yep.
So you need a guy who's got good work-life balance,
right?
Who knows how to treat a woman.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think what's happened too is because I am looking for that taller guy that has all of the bells and whistles, you know, I end up finding myself in the relationship where they know that they are, you know, a 9 or a 10, and now they can get anybody they want, because if I really look at it and go, well, that pool for them, they know they're in that small little pool of people that are available that are 6'3", 6'4".
They make for terrible partners.
Yeah.
So one of the theories I have in Love You, and again, I'll float it by you. You could take it or leave it. I say that if we're looking at a combination of two things, chemistry and compatibility, you need a 7 in chemistry.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you need a 10 in compatibility.
Okay. I'd agree with that.
Compatibility is how do the puzzle pieces fit?
Yeah.
How do we get along? How do we support each other? How do we play our roles? How do we communicate? right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to date yourself. You need someone that you get along with famously. You need the best friend, lover, partner in crime. So it's really, compatibility is not what do we have in common?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm 5'9", he's 5'9", I like salsa dancing, he likes salsa dancing, we both like horror movies, we both, you know, eat Mexican food. That's not compatibility.
Okay.
Compatibility is, how does the system work? How do we work as a couple? That needs to be a 10, because that's what sustains you for the next 40 years.
Yes.
Chemistry is a 7.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's going to wear off.
Is this person attractive? Are they good giving game in bed?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Just the baseline of that. It doesn't have to be off the charts. And people usually do the opposite. They look for the 10 in chemistry, and then they keep their fingers crossed that there's any compatibility. Because if there's chemistry, well, then I guess we're in love.
Right.
You can have chemistry with a shithead.
Yeah.
And try to make things work with the shithead for 2 years.
Yeah.
And try to convince the shithead to give up the other woman and stop working 60 hours a week. And it never works.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could have a slightly different relationship model, 7 chemistry, 10 compatibility, that is the ticket to a lovely life.
Oh, I love it. That's huge. That's huge. So I'm going to remember that. I'm going to set my filters a little bit different and try it. I'm going to do a little experiment.
It costs you nothing.
You're right.
The way it costs my son nothing to eat foods other than chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Just try it.
Yes.
And you know, you might like it. Who knows? Maybe.
You might. You know, somebody once said to me, I heard somebody say, all my kid wants to eat is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day. What am I going to do about that? And the doctor said, how many adults do you know that only eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? He'll grow out of it, right?
Eventually. He will, but it would certainly help to continue to introduce him to new foods instead of just indulging his peanut butter habits. So you can keep dating however you've been dating. I'm trying to introduce a possibility of a new diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I like these silly metaphors that I do. Most women, I mean, here's another metaphor, are shopping in the junk food aisle of the supermarket, right?
Yes.
I'm dating narcissists. I'm dating players. Uh-huh. I'm dating emotionally unavailable men. I'm dating losers and fixer-uppers and alcoholics.
Me.
You're shopping in the junk food aisle.
Yeah.
And it's like, you said, but it's all junk food. It's not. No, it's not all junk food. You literally have to go 2 aisles over and there's chicken and vegetables.
Yeah.
And they're tasty.
Yeah.
But it's not as tasty as the ice cream and the cookies.
Right.
But it's plenty tasty. And you could live for the rest of your life with the chicken and the vegetables.
Yeah.
So I say chicken and vegetables. You hear rice cakes and kale. He's telling me to settle 7. I want a 10.
Yeah.
Name one couple you know that has 10 chemistry and 10 compatibility.
Can't.
We didn't prepare this. Name any couple you know that 10, 15 years into their marriage has a white hot sex life and are best friends and they never fight.
No, I don't know anybody.
Right. Right. So there are different decisions that you make when you're making a decision for 40 years than when you're making a decision for 6 months.
I am taking this all in. You see me just looking at you because I'm trying to absorb it. You're so right. So I've been playing the wrong, I'm like in the wrong shopping aisle is what I'm doing.
You're doing what most people do.
Yeah.
And it's the only reason I have a job is because what you're going through, especially post-divorce, is so common. I want to correct my ex-husband couldn't hold down a job, didn't have a career, couldn't support us. I'm looking for money.
Yeah.
And I just did a podcast episode on it. It's called The Overcorrection.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in a relationship that becomes a loveless, sexless relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have sex for the last 5 years of your marriage. What's the next thing you're looking for? White hot chemistry.
Yep.
Then you get white hot chemistry. What do you have? White hot chemistry with a guy who's emotionally unavailable, wants to text you once a week and hang out.
Yes.
Right. So congratulations. You got your white hot chemistry. You didn't get a relationship, but I got a guy who's rich, but he's married to his job. So we're really looking for this middle lane here. No, you shouldn't settle on a loser that you have to support, but you certainly don't need a guy with a private jet either.
Right. Happy medium.
That's where all the good stuff is at. It's right there in the middle.
Right there in the middle. And that's where I need to start looking. I'm always trying to go around it. What's behind the middle?
I'm sorry. I'm talking so very much. It's more you're giving me the freedom to share this stuff.
I love it.
I should
probably
go with your questions instead of just dipping in with my answers.
No, this is why I wanted you here. They're tired of listening to me. I want somebody that can like really give a different perspective and a man's perspective for that matter. I mean, because we don't always get that side, you know?
I think it's because you're divorced and you're dating and you're open about this that I'm filling that and saying in a really short period of time, here's things that I see women in your position do frequently. Yeah. And here's how you could not get trapped by those.
I love it. I think it's great. Okay, I'm going to go back to my questions though now, okay?
All yes. Right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, okay, we'll see how this one goes because you may have already kind of answered it. But I think this kind of goes hand in hand with the topic of why, as women, we don't attract the wrong men, but we accept the wrong men, right? So what can we do to turn that around? Do you have anything more to add to that?
Well, let's start off with a theory. Maybe you've had it. Maybe you've heard other women say it. I attract the wrong man. Why do I attract the wrong men? What's wrong with me? Why do I attract them? You ever say that one?
I say it. Yeah. Heck yeah.
But my theory,
what's wrong with me?
Theory, like everything here is just a theory.
Yeah.
My theory is that you don't attract the wrong men because you're not a magnet. You don't attract men.
Okay.
You choose men.
Yes.
And you select men and then you double down on men.
Yeah.
So someone else meets a emotionally unavailable narcissist and she realizes from his infrequency of texts, the fact that he doesn't follow up quickly for a second date, the fact that he doesn't want to hang out platonically and get to know her, the fact that he's not introducing her to his friends and his family, the fact that his profile's still up, she realizes in the first couple of weeks, guy's a waste of my time. Block.
Yeah.
Someone else spends 6 months trying to get that guy to commit to her.
Yeah. Because we think we can fix him or we think we can bring him around, right?
You choose the wrong men.
That's me.
You accept the wrong men and then you try to change them where other people are like, nope, not my guy. Nope, not my guy.
Yeah.
And they could cycle through those guys in a few weeks where other people spend months and years on those men.
So how do we get in that mindset real quick? Like is it just a switch? You got to just go try something new?
In my Love You course, I tell women, you are the CEO. Men are the interns applying for a job. So how do you know if an intern's a good fit for the job? It's not just how he looks in a Brooks Brothers suit. Not just what's on his resume.
Yeah.
What do we want in an intern? He comes in early and he stays late.
Yes.
He wants the job. Oh boy, does he want the job. He'll do anything for the job.
Go-getter. Yes.
Effort. Not did I like him on the date. Oh my God, I like him so much. Such great chemistry. We closed down the bar. We made out. Okay, great. Did he follow up the next day to say that was amazing? When can I see you again? Because that's all I care about as your coach.
Yeah.
Is he making the effort to get the job?
Well, an effort is huge. And I found from dating that most men will do the bare minimum, but also because I won't speak just for me, but we're allowing it, right? We're allowing the bare minimum.
A man can't treat you any way you don't allow him to treat you. If you ever feel like you're a doormat or you're treated like shit or you have no boundaries, you're the CEO who agreed to hire an intern.
Yeah. So fire.
Criticizes the boss and shows up at work for a half a day a week.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, intern, you have a great resume.
Oh, because so I can see me being like, you got the job. You're great.
Right. Oh yeah. You got the job. You have all the credentials we're looking here. We're not going to pay attention to your work ethic or your character, but you have all the credentials we're looking for at this company. You're 6 feet tall and you have a good job. You're in.
Yeah. And I like good arms and pecs. So that's in there.
Most important thing, good arms and pecs.
That should be a thing on our profile, but you want it.
but that's the thing. I don't blame you for liking good arms and pecs. Yeah. There's a 0% correlation between pecs and good husband.
Right. Right. But I think that I just kind of have hung on those little things of, you know, because I didn't in my marriage have that chemistry after a while. So then my whole spiel on it is that I'm looking for the guy that I have the chemistry, the 10, because I want that passion and the chemistry. I've said that. I can't even tell you how many times I said that. Oh, I'm looking for the one with passion because I didn't have that in my marriage.
Right. And so let's understand everything is a scale. Any movie you see, you could rate it on a 1 to 10 scale. Any meal you have at a restaurant, you could rate it on a 1 to 10 scale. Any item of clothing, we could rate everything on a 1 to 10 scale, however gauche that sounds.
Yeah.
So I'm not denying the incredible power of 10 plus plus chemistry, but let's remember what chemistry is. It's brain chemistry. It is literally dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, pseudoephedrine, coursing through your brain, lighting up the pleasure centers of your brain like cocaine and methamphetamine. That's what chemistry is.
Yeah.
You're on meth.
Yeah.
So is there a good story about someone who's been on meth? Does that ever have a happy ending?
No.
So that's why I don't place as much value on chemistry, even though I love it the same way that someone who does coke probably loves it.
Yeah.
It's just not a very good baseline because your future's not like that. Chemistry wears off. You go to Wikipedia, go to the biological basis of love in Wikipedia. Chemistry wears off in 18 to 36 months. So what are you left with? You better be left with something better than the tingles.
You're right. I'm left with the emotionally unavailable guy that doesn't know how to communicate and doesn't text back, doesn't call me, and so does the bare minimum.
I think of it as a both and, not an either or. Mm-hmm. Yes, you need someone you're attracted to. Yes, you need someone who's good in bed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be the most attractive. He doesn't have to be the best in bed. Mm-hmm. Yes, you need a guy who has a decent job and can pay his own way.
Yeah.
But you don't need a guy who could support you. You support yourself. Like, we basically said, I need the best of every category.
Yeah.
He has to be 6 feet tall, and he has to be richer than me, and he has to be smarter than me, and he has to be. And then we say there's no one to date. And imagine if men dated that way. She has to be taller than me, richer than me, smarter than me, funnier than me, kind. She has to be. So women are like, I need to date up.
Yep.
And so imagine men did the same thing.
Where would that get us? Nowhere. Right?
Everybody's looking for someone better. And again, I did that.
Yeah.
This is the whole point. And then we have to get rid of up, right?
Yeah.
Taller than you again. It's an attractive thing that's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm.
But date up in character.
Yeah.
Date the best human being you know. Date the person you trust the most. Date the person that you can let down your guard and be your goofy self, your messy self. Like, date the guy who gets you and allows you to relax and let down your guard. Date the guy who makes you feel the way your best girlfriend makes you feel.
I love this. I love this part. This is giving me the tingle because I'm like, yeah, I want that. That's what I genuinely, truly want. I just got to get my to go with everything else, right?
But that's where happy couples land.
Yeah.
Like, if you know happy couples, I joked about, you know, I don't know anybody with a 10 chemistry, 10 compatibility, but if you know a handful of genuinely happily married people where you like them, you respect their marriage, you might not want to be with their husbands, but you get why they are happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ask them about it.
Yeah.
Ask them, what is it about him? Because she's going to know he's a little balding or he's a little heavy. Mm-hmm. Or that he's not the most charismatic guy in the room.
Yeah.
And she'll probably tell you, he makes me breakfast on Sunday morning.
Yep.
He rubs my feet after I was standing all day at work.
Yep.
Right? He is willing to go visit my mother for 5 straight days. They'll tell you that.
They will. I have a friend like that. Yes.
And you can't see that in a Bumble profile.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. So, okay, so let me ask you this. Speaking of chemistry, do you agree, though, that if you don't feel the chemistry or want to kiss on a first date, like, because the chemistry you're saying only lasts 18 to 36 months, right? So you do want to feel that, right? And if you feel right off the bat, you know, like, that's kind of my thing. While they're talking, I'm looking at him going, would I want to kiss them? I don't know. What's that? But if you don't feel that on the first date, do you think you should move on, or can that grow? Is there something you should give them a second chance, do you think?
Let's make a distinction.
Okay.
If we're going back to our 1 to 10 scale, and again, I know it doesn't sound good to rate people, but I do this in my own Love You course. I have a little cheat sheet in week 8 of my course, which is the one on first dates. And you print it up and you give your first date scores on comfort, fun, and attraction.
Okay.
Right. And what we're doing is really listening to feelings. We're not listening to the, here's his job, here's our common interests, here's what he likes streaming, here's his keto diet. None of that stuff matters.
Yeah.
Comfort. How did I feel? Yeah. Was I nervous? Did he seem like a player? Did he seem a little slimy? Did he have a little awkwardness where I didn't feel like I could vibe with him? So comfort. Could I be the best version of myself?
Right.
Fun. Speak to yourself.
Yeah.
You could be a good guy, but if you have no fun on the date, why go on a second date?
Yeah.
And the last one is attraction, right? The thing you talked about.
Yeah.
If he leaned in to kiss me at the end of the night, would I kiss him back?
Yeah.
Okay. Those things have to be at least a 6. All of them.
Okay. Okay.
Right? And 6 is a made up number, right?
It's
just a positive score and not a negative score.
Right. Yeah.
So a 6 can turn into a 9.
Okay.
A 3 can't turn into anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have to, but my point is you don't have to talk yourself into going on another date ever.
Okay.
You should just want to go on another date.
Yeah. And right? I guess, so yeah.
There's no, I'm going to give him a chance.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to give him a chance. You should look for, oh my God, balloons because of Zoom, balloons. So you shouldn't give him a chance.
Right.
Right. Duty dating.
Right.
Maybe if I go out with him four times, I will find that. No, if you have fun, you're comfortable. There's enough of a spark that maybe kissing could heat things up and turn things from a 6 to a 9.
Could. Like,
that happens all the time. But I never tell women to go out with men they're not attracted to.
Okay.
Because it's just a losing proposition for everybody. It's not fair to you and your time. It's not fair to him either.
Yeah. And can a bad kisser get better? That's a good one. If it's bad kiss, guppy. I don't know.
Yes.
Can you teach them? Should you have to teach them?
In a perfect world, no. In general, you don't want to have to change men. You want to assume a guy's a close to finished product.
Yeah.
But remember this, and this is something that women often forget. Men want to please you.
Mm-hmm.
A good guy wants to please you. He wants to make you happy. If he's kissing you and you're not responding and he's crazy about you, he's going to want to know. No guy wants to be the guy who's bad at kissing. So there's a framework, there's a way to communicate.
Yeah.
To get someone to hear you where you're giving them constructive criticism, there's a way to do that delicately.
Right. But
understand that if you're with a guy and he's crazy about you, he wants to make you happy. And if he's not pleasing you, yes, you could train him up.
Yeah.
Whether you keep him is a different story.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm going to go down another little path with that one. So let's talk sex. So you're having sex with a guy that is...
I've never had sex with a guy, so I might not be the person to answer.
You might not
this.
Be the one to ask. Okay. Having sex with a woman it's just not there. It's not working, right? So you can be with somebody and it's just like starfish laying there, you know, you just got nothing happening, right? And okay, maybe as a woman, so if I'm with a man that's doing that and I now fake an orgasm, I'm obviously doing a disservice, right? He's now thinking he's way better than he is, right? And I'm not helping the next girl at all. So do you just, what do? You just go along with it and sorry, that didn't work for me. Where do you go with that? That was such a good question, wasn't it, you guys? So... unfortunately, I'm going to have to stop it here and have you wait until next week to hear the answer to my question regarding the fake orgasm. And I hope you guys will tune in. This has been such an incredible episode with Evan, and I want to make sure that we cover it all. And we did a very long episode, so I've broken it into two. So please come back and join me on next week's episode. We'll continue on with this fabulous discussion with the first dating coach from 2003, Evan Mark Katz. It has been such an awesome episode and it only gets better. So please make sure to tune in and we'll talk to you next week.